Well, this is the Sunday morning that our missions committee looks forward to every year. This is the Sunday morning that we're going to give a report, a very short report, on all of the different works that we've been involved in over the last 12 months. And so Travis will finish that with some work that he did in Albania this year and also with a little sermon. And to follow, as Ron has already mentioned, the Missions Committee is hosting a fellowship meal for everyone down in the fellowship hall after services conclude this morning. So to give you an idea of the lineup and who's going to be speaking, I'll be talking about three mission trips that are related to WEI and our online teaching as well. Ethan Dudley, the chairman of our mission committee, will be giving a report for Brother Mark Abey on a couple of his medical mission trips that he went on this past year. Him and Joyce are not with us this morning, so Ethan has some prepared summary about that work. David Dudley will be talking about a mission trip that him and Vicky took to Korça, Albania. Artan will share with us a report on our WEI mission in Tirana, Albania, and then Travis will conclude, as I mentioned already. I also want to encourage you, I don't know how many of you still get the Christian Chronicle by postal mail, but on page 23 of the Christian Chronicle, on international news, just about that entire page, the Maryville Church of Christ is being reported there. It's very encouraging. One of our missionaries that we support in India, Brother Prabhu Kumar, has an article, and then David and Vicky in their trip to Korça, there's an article and a photo of David in the Christian Chronicle, and then there's also another article about the work that WEI did in Abidjan, Ivory Coast. So as we begin this, I just want to read a verse that I love from the book of Acts. After the first missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas, if you might remember, if they traveled, they went to several cities in what is now southern Turkey, and then they returned to Antioch to the church that sent them out. And we have this in Acts 14, verses 27 and 28. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles, and they stayed there a long time with the disciples. And so there is precedent for what we're doing today. And so we hope that you will rejoice with us and share in the blessings that God has done through you all and your support of the mission efforts that go on here at the Maryville Church of Christ. And so let me talk just a little bit. I want to give you, so I'm going to report on three mission works that we had in, that WEI was a part of this, the past 12 months. The first one is called a reception model. And what that is we have thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of online students that study WEI and the Bible online with teachers. And these students come from every country in the world. When we find a city that has thousands of students, and most of these are big capital cities in the world, we will host what's called a reception model. And that's where we take about the 1,000 best students that we have from that city, and we send them an invitation for a reception that we're going to have. We get a big hotel with a big conference room, and we invite those students to come, and we welcome them, and we bring a team of teachers. And we share with them that we're going to stay, the teachers will stay here for the next week to 10 days, and we'll study with anybody who wants to study one-to-one. And so that's how we set up these Bible studies. And when we do these, the students who come to us, they're all very eager to sign up for classes and study the Bible in English, because they speak English. They've been studying English online with us, and so we don't have to learn another language. And then we have our WEI summer schools that we do every year, and we'll be talking about those today as well. The only difference in the summer school is that we recruit students from the general population, and we take them through the WEI material lesson by lesson. So they're reading the Bible from creation all the way through the plan of salvation. And so the four countries that WEI had missions in, This past year, Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, we had a reception model, and I'm going to speak very briefly about that. Abidjan, Ivory Coast, Oradea, Romania, and Tirana, Albania. Just to share, I'm going to be clicking through these slides very quickly, but this is Addis Ababa in Ethiopia. We had thousands of students there. We hosted a reception, sent out about 1,000 invitations to our best students. 82 showed up. And we studied for the next week. We studied approximately 135 hours of Bible studies with these students. These are students who have been studying the Bible online for many months. And so the soil has been prepared, it's been watered, and they want to know more about the gospel. And so the Church of Christ in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, is also the location, and they support and sponsor. It's called the Makanasia Deaf School in Addis Ababa. It's the first deaf school in the entire country of Ethiopia that was started by Churches of Christ about 20 years ago, 25 years ago. And this is a picture of the courtyard with all the students there. It really made me wish I had been more attentive and a better student in our sign language classes. Because I was able to communicate a little bit with them, of course, they're all deaf, and it was just such a thrill to be around them every day. So excited to learn and to be there. This is the building. It's very impressive. The Church of Christ, where the Church of Christ meets, and the deaf school is in that same building. Very impressive. The students, many students live there and study there and worship there. The team that we took, we had 7 teachers that went to Addis Ababa. This is kind of what it looks like. We had the venue was the church building there, and so we welcome the students and we thank them for being students, and we give them little gifts. These are WEI tote bags with the logo, and they always love anything that has to do with America, the American flag. They just love that. And so we gave them that, and we set up Bible studies with them. This is one of the students that I studied with, one of my best students. Her name was Hannah, she continues to be my student online as well. This is another teacher studying with a student just to show you what it looks like. And then, of course, after the 10 days were concluded, the Lord blessed us with 5 baptisms, new members of his kingdom. This is a man named Chali who was baptized. Another person named Yedata was baptized. Johannes, and they had that's the baptistry there, just a little tub. And then this is 2 students, Abdi and Segay, giving their confession just before their baptism. So that was an exciting work and a fruitful work. Thank you for supporting WEI and helping us to do missions like this. This past April, we did the same thing in the capital of Ivory Coast, which is Abidjan, very, very crowded city. It was difficult for many of our students to get to our venue because they live in the city, and it still took them 3 or 4 hours to try to get there, and many of them did not make it. Again, we sent out about 1,000 invitations. 51 were able to make it. Even through the bad traffic. And that week, we studied approximately 71 hours with those students. So this is the team. We worked with the Church of Christ there in Abidjan, and it's the Doa Plateau Church of Christ, and these are our teachers. We had 6 teachers. And so this is the reception that we had there, welcoming the students. And then, like I said, after the reception, we invited them to come up and sign up for Bible studies, and they just flood the front of the room. And many of them sign up with several different teachers, and they study all week long with us the Bible in English. And so this is just a couple of slides of what that looked like. We had that after that week, there were 2 baptisms. A man named Victor Koku, he was baptized by his WEI internet teacher who was there in person, named Bill Warren. And then Murray Stewart also baptized his internet teacher, Darrington Sharif. So praise God for that. And then we worshiped with the Doa Plateau Church of Christ there in Abidjan, a church of about 70 members, and that was the Sunday that we worshiped with them. We also had our WEI short-term mission in Oradea, Romania. This is just a picture of the center of the city. It's a beautiful Transylvania city. We had five teachers, studied over 200 hours of Bible studies with them in Oradea this June and this July. Just got back from that trip about 3 weeks ago. This is the team of five teachers that were there. We had over 200 hours of Bible studies for the 4 weeks of that mission. So it's very productive. The teachers were busy all day, every day. If you want to teach WEI online, we have many people here in our congregation who teach WEI and have enjoyed it so much. I was just speaking with Jan Hazel about one of her students who was baptized yesterday and stays in touch with her and so faithful, and Jan just loves her to death. Students from every country in the world, we have 21,500 students register every month now to study the Bible, and we average about 300 students waiting to be claimed by a teacher daily. And so if you'd like to be a WEI teacher, you know who to talk to. We're all here. I can see those who are active teachers smiling right now. And so Ethan, if you can come up and talk about Brother Abey. Thank you. Brother Abey.
Yeah, so like Tom said, Mark and Joyce couldn't be here this weekend, but they wanted to be a part of this to talk about a couple of trips that they took part in this summer. Mark went to Guyana, and both Mark and Joyce went to Honduras. But they sent a couple of reports for me to read, and so we'll share that. And I'm sure when they get back, if you have any questions, if you want any more information or pictures, you could go to them, and they'd be happy to share with you. So he writes, for Guyana, I apologize for not being able to be with you on Mission Sunday, but we had to be in New Hampshire for a family commitment. In June, I traveled to Georgetown, Guyana, with a group that was organized by Richard Blunt, who is a member of the Westbury Church of Christ in Houston. The elders of that congregation oversee this trip. The group was 13 strong, three from Oklahoma, one from Tennessee, and the rest from congregations in the Houston area. We partner with a congregation in Guyana, Claybrook Road Church of Christ, where we set up a medical clinic Monday through Friday. We arrived late Saturday night, and one of my highlights was the worship with the local congregation that Sunday. English is the official language in Guyana. It was originally part of the British Empire and is the only English-speaking country in South America. Still, there are many heavy accents, and I enjoy the worship with that component, as well as the open air with the breeze and hearing the birds and the chickens during worship. When people come to the clinic, they're offered Bible studies with the personal workers. After that, they see the nurses to have some basic tests and then see the doctor. We have a pretty extensive pharmacy and are able to help people in their treatment of diabetes, hypertension, hyperlipidemia, arthritis, parasites, fungal skin issues, as well as supplying vitamins and some preventative medicine supplies. There's a children's program that goes on all day long. We run the clinic till about 5 p.m., we take an hour off and fellowship with the members, and at 6, we have a nightly crusade, think old-time gospel meeting, at the church building. Going on at the same time is a wonderful children's class that has a VBS-type atmosphere. It's very popular. After church, we head back to the hotel for an 8:30 dinner time and then go to bed to rest up for the next day. We saw about 150 people in the clinic, and there were 5 baptisms and a couple of restorations during the week. The pictures, there's a couple of pictures up there. We have the medical team with 2 doctors, a nurse, and a lab technician, and then Mark with Harry Prasad and his wife Marilyn. He first met Harry during his first trip to Guyana in 1994 when he was a teenager, and he is now a minister at a nearby congregation and doing a great work. And he says he's been going to Guyana since the 90s, so if you ever want a PowerPoint presentation on that work, just ask him. And there's a couple other pictures from Guyana. We've got a picture of the entire mission team there, 13 plus a couple of Guyanese brethren. And then down on the right-hand side is one of the baptisms. And then in July, he went to Honduras. So he writes, in July, Joyce and I, along with our son Ryan and daughter-in-law Brittany, traveled to Honduras with Latin American Missions. This is a large organization under the oversight of the Forest Park Church of Christ in Georgia. They've been doing mission trips for over 50 years to Spanish-speaking countries. This is the first time we've traveled with Latin American missions. It all started with our attendance at Polishing the Pulpit last year in Sevierville. In between lectures, Joyce visited their booth and struck up a conversation, and by that evening, I was involved in email conversations with the team lead. That's how volunteer work often happens. Ask a question, and before you know it, you're involved. I cannot find the words to describe this work. Impactful might be the best. Their theme, "The Mission is Not a Destination," also comes to mind. The group consisted of 41 from all over the U.S. and 27 Hondurans who worked side by side. There was a medical team of 2 doctors, 4 nurses, a pharmacist and her team, and an optician and his team. There are evangelism teams that go into the city to greet people on the street looking to do Bible studies and invite people to the clinic. There's a youth team that goes to local schools to interact with the local teens. There are Bible studies going on at the clinic site as well as all over the city. These teams have U.S. and Honduran brethren on them. After the clinic, we have a gospel meeting. At the same time, there's a children's program, a teen program, and a new converts class going on. Numbers are not the goal, but they do paint a picture of what happened. We saw 609 patients in the clinic, filled 1,800 prescriptions, dispensed 1,130 glasses, had 270 Bible studies that involved 400 students, and had 22 baptisms. This took place in Gracias, Honduras, which was an agonal 5-hour bus ride from the Tegucigalpa airport where we flew in. There are many interesting stories to tell. The team Joyce was on had a Bible study with a couple who owned a store, and they closed it for 45 minutes to do the Bible study. Pictures up here, we've got the evangelism team planning their day in the community, and then we've got Joyce and Mark with Brittany and Ryan. And then we have a picture of Bible studies going on, and then this is Mark with his interpreter, Giovanni. So if you have any more questions or would like to see more pictures, let Mark know, and he'd be happy to share.
Okay, so I'm going to be speaking about the trip that Vicki and I took to do VBS in Korça. Back in 2023, we were in Tirana, Albania, for the summer sessions there, and we had the opportunity to visit Korça just briefly, just enough to meet Albert Cepi and his wife, Yona, who worked down there. This year, Albert Cepi and his wife, Yona, visited or invited us to come help with the Korça VBS. We didn't know what we would be doing during that week of VBS, but we felt the need to answer the call and to go help. It took us about 24 hours to fly from Atlanta to Washington, D.C. to London, and then finally land in Thessaloniki, Greece, right here, because that's probably the most direct way to get to Korça. Albert met us, bless his heart, he drove all the way over there and met us, and then as we drove back through Greece, heading to Albania, it was very exciting to see places that we knew from Paul's missionary journeys, like Thessaloniki, of course, and then also Berea, which is right there, before crossing the border into Albania. So we settled in into a small Airbnb apartment right across the street from the Korça Church of Christ. There was a beautiful mountain view out of the windows, and the next day was Sunday, so we worshiped with the church. We also met a group from Lipscomb University who had come to help with VBS. Professors Dr. Gary Hall, Andrea Zaylor, and 3 students, Sydney, Abby, and Haley Kate. The VBS was advertised as a bilingual children's summer Bible school with Albanian and American teachers. It ran Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, and we averaged about 50 children a day, ages 6 to 13. And additionally, this is something we found out while we were there, it was the only VBS in the city that accepted special needs children. So each day, the VBS staff workers would gather for a devotional prior to the children's arrival, and several of the devotionals were presented by Benny Leka, who had come over from Athens and with his wife, Sunila. Benny's the dean of the Athens International Bible Institute, as well as a preaching minister in Athens, Greece. And my wife, Vicki, has a gift for making personal connections with children of all ages. And she would mingle with them as they were coming in and arriving each day, giving them hugs and high fives and discussing their favorite sport, which is football, but not the football you think. They're talking about soccer. Anyway, each day after a warm-up of VBS songs, there was usually a skit about the day's Bible story given by the students from Lipscomb. The bilingual interpretation was provided by Ava Bala, one of the local Albanian church members, who also teaches WI lessons. And that's Ava right there. So after the singing and skits, the kids would break into three age-appropriate groups for rotation through three different stations during the morning. One station was for games, one was for crafts, and one was for learning the day's Bible story using workbooks. It was that last station that Vicki and I worked with. We helped the kids with their English pronunciation and various knowledge exercises in a workbook, like find a word, crossword, or coloring Bible story scenes. The workbook was intended to reinforce the Bible story in their minds. In addition to helping with these knowledge exercises, if there was a special needs child in that group, I would specifically sit with that child and give them whatever assistance they needed. Each day of VBS was a different story. So King David, Solomon, Queen Esther, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and we finished up the week with King Jesus. The kids would have a snack before heading home with their parents, and then the VBS workers would get together to have a debriefing where we would talk about what went well and what didn't. And in the afternoons, we would rest in the apartment, or we might run some errands or have lunch with the other VBS workers. We would also explore the city, which is very walkable. In fact, after the sun goes down and it's a little less hot, the streets are packed with people. They're all just out on the sidewalks going somewhere. So on several occasions, Albert and Yona would call me to ask if Vicki and I wanted to go for coffee with air quotes. The first time he called, it was 8 p.m. in the evening. And I was like, man, we don't drink coffee that late. But Albert explained, and very quickly we figured out that going for coffee is just, it's a very important part of the Albanian culture, and it may not involve coffee at all. It's just getting together and spending time sitting, talking, and sipping a beverage. It's a cultural practice of slowing down and really getting to know someone, sharing life with them. So, I haven't been clicking like I should. So, this is the station that we were working on. There's Vicki with some of the kids. You can tell that they just really warmed up to her. But anyway, one evening when Albert and Yona called to see if we wanted to go for coffee, we ended up on a 30-mile road trip out to a rustic country inn called Sofra Kolanjare Agroturism in Ursek, Albania. And there we sat with Albert and Yona at an outdoor table and enjoyed lemon sodas and talked about life. Inside the inn were displays of traditional Albanian clothing. Whoops. Right there. And some antiques that they had on display. We didn't get back to Korcha until well after dark. So on Wednesday, Benny and Sunila invited all the VBS workers to Sunila's parents' house there in Korcha. And in the courtyard, we sat in the open air and enjoyed pizza, fruit, and some amazing desserts. So on Friday, there was a VBS awards ceremony and then hugs and until we see you again send-offs. Albert had arranged a rideshare for us to make the almost 100-mile journey to our next destination, which was Tirana, the capital of Albania. This road trip would take us through the mountains via some curvy roads with glimpses of all kinds of different landscape and living situations in Albania. So in Tirana, we found our apartment and then walked over to the church building and greeted Bledi Valca, who's the preaching minister there, Lisa Foreman, who works with the Roma peoples, and Arjan Muca, who's also a missionary. Earlier, I had contacted several of our former WEI students that we had 2 years before, and four of them were able to meet with us over the next few days. So on Saturday, we met with Irvin Mutsa, who is up here, and then with Kliti Dedya and his family. And then on Sunday, we went over and worshiped with the Tirana Church. We also met Eves, who is this fellow right here with the Harding shirt on. He's the summer intern, and he's from Cameroon by way of France, but he's a student at Harding University. So he was just there for the summer. And after worship, we went with Ellen Walker and Aryan Mutsa and spent quite a while talking about their ministries and laughing with them. So later we went with Bledi's family to Kruja Castle, way up the side of the mountains, and visited the George Castriotti National Museum, Skanderbeg. And that's where we learned about the national hero of Albania. And I wanted to show you this. Notice his helmet up there. It has the head of, I think, maybe a deer or maybe a goat with horns. And so you'll always see him with that hat on in all the paintings or in statues or whatever. So we were able to learn a lot more about him in that museum. And then on the way down the mountain, we stopped in Fushkruja, where the Tirana Church helps with an outreach program serving the Roma people. Now the Roma people, they're not gypsies, but they are like gypsies in that they are very poor, very uneducated in most cases, and very underserved in employment and other socioeconomic things. So we were there for a devotional service with Bledi leading the songs, and Lemuel gave a brief devotional talk. Eves and the others from the Tirana Church came and met us there. And then Monday morning, we joined the WEI teachers as the summer sessions were just starting. So we joined them for their morning devotional at the church building. And here's some of the teachers up here and here. And then we met with, later that day, with our last two WEI students, Radian and Marcela Salavacci. Radian was my student 2 years ago, and Marcela was Vicky's student 2 years ago. And so we wanted to try and reconnect with them and enjoy some going for coffee with them. So on Tuesday, Bledi was very kind to brave the horrible traffic and drive us to the Tirana airport for our flight out. We said our goodbyes, and then we headed off. Throughout our time in Albania, we were able to accomplish the goals of our trip. We loved on and served the children in the Vacation Bible School at Korça as they learned about God and his love for them. We were able to reconnect with some of our former students, and we tried to have fellowship with and encourage two of the churches and their ministry workers supported by this church. We also continued to increase our knowledge and familiarity with the Albanian people and their culture. And the reason why is, Lord willing, we hope to be able to go back to Albania. And we would also encourage anybody who is willing to go, please go. Thank you for your prayers and your support while we were there. And I'm going to turn it over to Artan. And notice, there's the helmet right there.
Thanks. It's okay. You're ready to go. We're just starting. So please hang in there. I think it is actually hard to translate the excitement of a mission trip to a report. So I know that everything we're saying here might not be excited. That's why I wanted to wrestle with David so that you can laugh a little bit. Thank you, David, for that report. I will try, we'll make an attempt to report on our trip. Daniel and I went to a mission trip on Tirana, Albania this summer, and it was from July 4th to July 26th. Early in that Bible teaching campaign, I heard two beautifully expressed truths that stayed with me throughout the trip. First, the first one was, if you are a Christian, you will travel. And if you travel, you will become a Christian. And the second one was, Christianity is the most translatable and transportable religion of all. The first resonated with my own story. I became a Christian because of missionaries who traveled to teach the Bible, and now I travel to share that same faith. The second needs little explanation. The Bible that is translated into most languages requires no specific place for worship, making it uniquely adaptable. In Tirana, which is the capital city, we conducted a 6-week, I mean, we were not part of the 6-week, but the whole summer sessions were 6 weeks teaching campaign using Word English Institute materials, which combines, and you know this, and I don't know why I'm going through this, combines English lessons with Bible teachings. We had 59 students altogether, and they were entrusted to a team of 20 teachers. God blessed us with a curious and eager group of students, hungry to learn. And our goal was to shine the light of God's love, planting seeds of faith, while we all long to see immediate results, like faith in Christ that leads to baptism. We reminded ourselves daily that our role was to faithfully sow the seed, and then trusting that God will bring growth in His own time. By the end of the campaign, or this summer session, we had one baptism, and that was Ilda Chelmeta that studied during the 6 weeks period with three different teachers. She's about 50 years old, and she expressed her faith. It was a time of excitement to hear her say that, you know, those daily studies opened her heart to Christ, and she wanted to be part of God's family. So following the WI campaign, many students attended the Albanian Christian camp, and I will not go much there because I know Travis is going to say something, but, you know, those efforts are combined efforts, and we had many more baptisms that followed there. But one of the part of the trip that we had, we traveled to different parts of Albania where we have works that Maryville Church of Christ supports, like in Poličan, Kučova, and Majat. We wanted to be there and talk to them and encourage them, but we were the ones that were encouraged because what we saw there, the stories we heard, they were so exciting and encouraging to us. We saw this year a church that really is growing, a church that really excites. Two other things that we visited, two young churches, one in Berat that started about 3 years ago by a brother that actually he serves in Durrës, the second biggest city in Albania. He started because he's from that area. He wanted to start a church there. And the effort then were supported by another American family that moved there from Alaska 2 years ago. They have three children, and, you know, those two families, the Albanian guy and the American, they're working very well together. And I'll tell you that I worship with them, and I've never felt that much joy in my heart because that congregation reflected joy. The love that they expressed to each other and the people that were there were very moving and very touching. I also, when David kind of told you about the outreach of the Tirana Church of Christ to start the church in Fushkrui, which is about 15 miles from Tirana, kind of northwest. This started by Lisa Forman. She is an American citizen that lives and works in Tirana. And hers was a work of love and compassion for people that are left outside, you know, people that nobody cares for. She started working with those kids, helping them with trying to teach them things. And then the church got involved. And now they go there every week. They go teach the children and kind of feed them on Saturday, and they go to worship on Sunday. It was an amazing thing. You know, I'll tell you, those kids, I've never received that many hugs in my life. Every kid wanted to give me 10 hugs all the time. They go from one to another and hug and hug and hug. Daniel said the same thing. I've never had that many hugs in my life. So it was something that was very moving. So I think this trip underscored again the beauty of Christianity's adaptability. Carried from one place to another, from urban Tirana to rural Fushkruja or to a campground by the Ionian Sea. And we may not always see the immediate results of our efforts, but we trust that God is working. So I just wanted to close. Didn't take that much. By thanking you for your prayers and support, which made this mission possible. A mission trip is a collective effort. That means you all traveled with us. And for that, we cannot express enough thankfulness. Thank you, thank you, thank you, and God bless you all. A special thank you goes to Sister Lori Holmes for the gifts that she prepared for each student. It really touched their heart, and they greatly appreciated your handiwork, Lori. Let's continue all together to pray for these seeds planted this summer in Albania, that they may grow into a bountiful harvest to God's glory. Thank you all.
Hey, thank you so much. Thank you for your patience this morning. I hope that it is helpful to you to get to learn about some of the things that you are a part of. You are a part of wonderful, transformative kingdom work throughout the world, and we can't thank you enough. So I want to thank everyone who has gone on these trips. I want to thank the work that you guys have done, but I want to thank this church so much. You know, there are a lot of things that that you can go to throughout the year. There are different things that are kind of designed to be for like preachers, like lectureships and seminars and things, like enriching and encouraging and all of that. And I would say throughout the year, there is nothing that I do that is more spiritually enriching or beneficial to me in my spiritual journey or my family as the camp in Bunetz, Albania. And so we're going to talk about that camp just a little bit and let you guys know some of what's going on there and some of what we're engaged in. And I can tell you a lot of things about it. I think it is in a beautiful place. It is among beautiful people, people who genuinely love and care about God, and children who are hearing words of Scripture and even hearing the gospel for the first time. And it is awesome to see them come to know more about Christ, come to know Christ, and to be a small part of that. But what I wanted to do in this, rather than just me get up here and tell you my thoughts about the camp, is I actually sent messages to a bunch of the people in Albania who work with the camp. And I asked them questions about the camp, and I just have a bunch of quotations here that I wanted to read to you guys so you could see how much the camp means to the church in Albania and to many of the individuals who go to it. And I would say, after reading through a bunch of responses, if I could summarize them, I think what you end up seeing is the benefits of camp are many, but you see a lot of individual benefits, and that is for people who are young, you know, like kids who are coming, to the elderly and everyone in between. You see all sorts of personal benefits, spiritual growth for each person who goes. But then also you see a tremendous amount of congregational strength and unity. It's not like, you know, the church in Albania, it's not like there are 45 different church summer camps to choose from, right? This is something that the entire country works together on, these 3 weeks of camp. They have 3 weeks right in a row. There by the Ionian Sea, there's a field. They set up tents. One of those tents is a kitchen. And that's they try to put some tarps over so that there's a little bit of reprieve from the sun. But they go down there and all of the congregations basically work together to set this up. It takes preparation before the week begins. There's a lot of work that goes into it during the week. The first week is for younger kids. The second week is for like high school age kids. And then the last week is a family camp for pretty much everybody. And the more conversations that I have with people, the more that I see that there are a couple of things in particular that have been absolutely instrumental in the growth and flourishing of the church in Albania. And I would say WEI is on that list, maybe number one. Very, very important. I would say the work of the ongoing ministry of each church is, again, absolutely essential and important. But then also, it is amazing how often this camp comes up. People who were not Christians who were invited to this camp, and that's where they first learned the gospel. It is an evangelistic effort. And so it helps individuals, it helps the church's unity with one another, but also it is one of the greatest outreaches that I've been a part of. And so when I think about this camp, I want to read a couple of quotes to you. The first one is from a wonderful servant of the church in Durres named Clea. She does so many things for this camp, and it's just a delight to be around. She said, "I've been serving at the Bunetz camp for 10 years now, and honestly, I've grown up through this camp. And something very special about this camp is that it's not just where I serve, it's where my journey with God truly began. I was baptized here in Bunetz, and at that moment, it marked the beginning of my spiritual growth. It was in this place, surrounded by nature and a loving Christian community, that I made the decision to follow Jesus with my whole heart. Camp also creates a powerful opportunity to share the gospel, especially with young people who may be hearing it clearly for the first time. Through the teaching, small groups, worship, and loving community, many children, teens, and adults come to understand who Jesus is and how much he loves them. She wrote quite a bit about the camp and what it has meant to her, but the thing that's incredible about that is not only her who has received that, but as we'll see, every year there are people who had that same experience. There were 6 baptisms at camp this year, and these are people who I'll be able to ask this question to and get similar types of testimony as they think about what camp has meant to them. Arid, who works with the church in Polychan and works with the youth there, one of the churches we support, he said, "So first, we love camp. It's a time where we worship God all together as Albanians. As Albanians, we love spending time with each other, and we can't wait for summer camp. For some of us, the camp weeks are the main summer holiday time. Our favorite parts of the camp are worshiping God and hearing his precious word. We love singing the hymns, activities which are organized by the brothers and sisters, and of course, the deep blue sea. From my experience, camp has been a lot of help. I found the love of my life, Anissa, to whom I've been married for 10 years here at this camp. It helps us grow all together in faith. It's good to know that God is worshiped all over Albania." Arion, who led singing for us actually a couple of months ago, and he was in one of the pictures earlier, he's a great servant of the church in Tirana. He said, "I've been attending camp for many, many years, and every time I come here, I enjoy God's grace and love. I think camp is an important way for churches of Christ to reach out to each other and get connected with each other. And camp is also a good place to evangelize people who come for the first time and don't know much about God. And this is a good opportunity to show them what the family of God is all about." And really, when you have non-Christians who come and they're in this Christian environment for an entire week full of worship and prayer and song and scripture, it's full of genuine love and fellowship for one another, it is transformative. Being welcomed into that is something that has been transformative. After we got to camp, I did preach for the church in Tirana, and I was able to see and fellowship with the church there. As for the camp itself, this is the session that I was at. There's a little over 100 people there. These are the campers along with the staff. This is the staff that helps out with camp. And again, these are representatives of churches from all throughout Albania, different congregations all coming together to unify in this effort. And it is a very special time, I think, for them to get to spend with one another. This is the preacher for the church in Polychan. His name is Jafer. He and his wife, Tatiana, are in that tent. That burner that you see up there, there's 3 of them in there. And I'm not kidding when I say it's probably 130 degrees in that tent with those burners on when they are cooking 3 meals a day for 3 weeks in a row. It is astounding the amount of work that goes into that. You can see Tatiana there in the middle. We're making some oregano that we picked from the nearby mountains there. But this is one of the meals that we had at camp. But for every meal, you have the time that takes to bring the food there, to prepare the food, to cook the food. You have all of the dishes and plates. They don't throw their plates away. It's not disposable. They heat up water on the stove and bring it over to a sink to have hot water to wash all the dishes after each one of these meals. Remember, everything is just in tents, and so it's not like there's a big, you know, fancy kitchen with industrial sinks or anything. But as you do this, the only way you can make it work is if all of those people are contributing and helping. And that's why camp is just full of opportunities to serve. Clyde, another great servant of the church in Duras, he said, "Serving at camp has helped me year after year to climb the steps of faith in every aspect of my life. Exercising godly virtues and reflecting more deeply on how I can become more like Christ in my service, in my thoughts, and in my attitude." Bledi, the preacher for the church in Tirana, who's been here and we support him, talking about service at camp, says, "Camp has helped me serve more, serve better, and serve more widely than I ever thought. It has tested my patience, fostered more motivation, and encouraged a deeper resolve to serve God." Camp is in an absolutely beautiful area. You have the Ionian Sea there. You have the mountains nearby. Camp is full of opportunities to fellowship and spend time with one another. Concerning the fellowship, Chimmy, who he was referenced earlier, he works with the church in Duras and helped get the work started in Barat. Wonderful man. Him and his wife Anila are they run the session that I'm there for. Absolutely love them. They are fantastic servants of the church. But when he talks about the fellowship that takes place at camp, He said, the church in Albania is relatively small, so we really need each other. The camp brings us together and strengthens our unity and fellowship. Through camp, we create long and lasting spiritual connections with people, brothers, and sisters. Bledi said, camp unifies the efforts of the local churches of Christ to serve the body of Christ. It allows us to serve, train for service, lead to Christ, and grow in Christ. Albert Cheppi of the church in Korcha, who works with the camp, he says, it is a way for families from different cities in Albania to get together, fellowship, and strengthen their faith in God and friendships with one another in Christ. It is a way for them to be like a greenhouse, to grow and mature more in the Lord. I like that illustration of it being like a greenhouse, where you're just consuming and keeping in the goodness of God while you're there at the camp. But not only is there great fellowship, it is also a time of Bible study, reflection, and worship. This is Lauren. She teaches classes there every day, and this is her class that she would teach. This year, we focused on the book of Jonah. Each night, I kind of blend into the darkness there, each night, we have a worship service, and that's I preach at nighttime. That's Samuel, who that is the son of Chimmy, who is in Duras, translating for me. He was actually baptized at camp, and it was a really special moment, and so we want to pray for Samuel, but we would have those, and then the kids had their opportunities to pray and to lead prayer during before meals and at various times throughout the camp before worship services. There's morning devotionals, there's Bible classes, there's evening worship, there's a worship service in the middle of the day, and again, the whole day is just focused and directed on the worship and love of God. But then also, not only is there great time for worship and praise, but as I said, it is a time of evangelism. When it comes to the worship and praise, Clyde, who I mentioned earlier, he writes, when it comes to time with God, I would highlight a few special moments. Morning devotionals, simple, practical, and meaningful. They're short but powerful reminders for the kids and all of us that the day begins with God. Evening worship time, when the kids sing with passion and all their energy, their enthusiasm and dedication are inspiring. Their smiles, their involvement, and their desire to worship God are an encouragement to us as leaders, reminding us that our service is truly making an impact. Clea writes, I love every part of the camp, but especially the night programs and worship nights. Seeing the children sing with passion about God, learning how to pray out loud, and sharing their talents and joy. It's powerful and emotional. These moments remind me why I serve. It's not just about organizing a program. It's about being part of what God is doing in these young hearts. Chimmy, the one who leads the camp, says, camp is powerful for evangelism. 30 to 40% of campers are our friends and family members, rather than members of the church, who come to know Jesus because of camp. Baptisms are our favorite part. You can talk for hours to different individuals who have been baptized at camp and are Christians because of what camp has meant in their lives. Finally, I'll close with a quote from Clea, who says, most importantly, camp helps us open our door for the churches. When camp ends, many of those who attend, whether children, teenagers, adults, they start attending church more regularly. It becomes the starting point of a deeper spiritual journey. Camp plants the seed, and then the local church helps it grow. Many campers return home with a desire to know God more, and camp helps connect them with a church where they can continue learning and growing in their faith. In this way, camp helps the local church grow, not only in numbers, but also in spiritual depth. It brings new energy, new relationships, and new opportunities for discipleship that continue long after camp is over. I could say a whole lot more. I could give you more of my thoughts on camp, but I hope you could see that this is an extraordinarily valuable ministry to the churches as a whole in Albania, to each individual congregation, and to each individual person that comes. It is the biggest spiritually encouraging week of the year for me and my family, and it, just being a part of it is infectious. But I think the reason why is because the entire camp is centered and focused on Jesus. And that's really what, whether you're in Albania or here in Maryville or wherever you are in the world, or no matter what missionary we're talking about, this is what unites us as a whole. In Luke chapter 2, Jesus, as a newborn baby, is brought to the temple, and Simon is a old prophet who is there, and he takes Jesus in his arms, looking at this child, and he says, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace," meaning I can die in peace now, "because my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the nations and the glory of your people, Israel." He says, I can die in peace because I've seen your salvation. I'm holding it here in my hands. And I know that this is a salvation that is not for one people only, but is for across the nations, for all the peoples. And that is a truth that he saw and experienced there with the baby Jesus 2,000 years ago. You can see that expansion of that truth throughout the book of Acts. And you can see the expansion of that truth here among us in the work that we are engaged in and that we get to participate in. You can see it in Albania when the churches grow and flourish and thrive. We are a part of that mission. They are a part of that mission. And it's something that we share in and are connected to because of Jesus. Thank you for what you've done. So the challenge as we bring our lesson to a close is, number one, I would encourage anyone here, if you're not a Christian, become a Christian. There were 6 baptisms at camp this year. I know there were others because of other mission opportunities that people were engaged in. That's something that we could do here too. That's something you can do. Take seriously the challenge of Jesus to give your life to him, to die with him and to be buried with him, to rise up with him, to live a new kind of life. But also, when you consider the mission of this church, see if you can help with WEI. Do some online teaching. See if you can financially support some of the work that we're doing. Go on a mission trip with WEI or in some other way. And finally, something that every one of us could do, and it's not just a little meaningless thing you tack on at the end. It's actually central to the entire mission of the church worldwide, is the mission of prayer. That is a central element of the ministry of Jesus, and it's something that we should all be dedicated to as well. So please pray for the mission work, pray for the churches in Albania, pray for the new Christians, and pray for all that is done in the name of Jesus. If we can help you commit your life to him, please let it be known. Come and sit on the front row while we stand and as we sing.